if McDavid's off that team and Draisaitl's the number one guy,
I thought
they're
you were
brutal.
Going Mike Trout. And
yeah,
you
I
went
thought you were
Trout's a good analogy. Tell me Timberlake and NSYNC isn't a great analogy.
Although Lance Bass is a pretty big,
come on,
big name out there, isn't he?
No,
he's not doing
who are the
work.
Who are the other guys in NSYNC?
Joey
name?
Fatone.
Fatone.
Joey Fatone could do work.
Joey no. Fatone.
Did any of them go on single careers?
No, none of them. Timberlake left, and but they ceased
so,
to exist.
You're right. It's actually a great analogy.
McDavid
Timberlake
is Timberlake.
So heads and tails above, talented above everyone
everybody else. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Whether it's a good take or not, you can't lead into the take saying, this is a great take of your own take.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Right? I mean, you should probably throw it out, and maybe Owen Noodles will go, hey, that's a great take.
Yeah, but let us decide.
You can't. Yeah, you can't do that. Right. I mean, this is a man. Noodles is there. I just see a picture. You're back in steerage, Noodles, and
yeah.
Sammy's up front with...
Hang on a sec, Ray. I want you to hear something.
Yeah, you got
to
hear
a few
this.
Things.
Toodaloo, mother...
Next one, Mulls?
Not my problem.
And next one.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Chow from The Hangover knocked Noodles back to coach.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking.
Can you imagine how Sam would have pestered him the entire flight?
I told him to. I said, why don't you buddy up to him and see what he's got to say. And apparently by the end, they were yucking it up and had a nice conversation, and they took a picture together. Sounds like he's a terrific person, too. Like Sam
oh, man of the people, except for you.
Listen, he didn't know that he was bumping me. All he did is he put in for the upgrade, and he must have had more status than me.
I think that's exactly what happened. Because how would he have more status?
But I want to know one question. If you signed up, you got the upgrade, can they take you off of it if another guy comes with a better upgrade?
I believe, ask Chris Edwards, the producer. Did you see his Twitter feed the other day?
Because that's not fair if you literally get your ticket and then all of a sudden a big wheel comes.
But Chow's not a big wheel. He's Chow from The Hangover.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Listen to me, Chow.
He's a big deal.
He's a guy that people are familiar with. You know, he's a decent actor.
But what
he's not
I'm saying
A-list
is,
guy.
Once I'm confirmed, this is your seat. You're honestly. I'm going to go.
Yeah, but it wasn't confirmed. It wasn't confirmed.
It's not confirmed.
You put in
on
for
the
it.
List.
You're on a list. You're on a standby list for the upgrade.
But who determines? Like, is it like a bouncer?
I think it's a status.
No, it's seniority.
Yeah.
Or it's miles in status of on the airline.
Right. So when we put
where's
in for
Chow going?
Well, he went to number 3 and bumped me to number 4, and there was only 3 seats available, and I got the gate.
Not my problem.
So
Noodles got the 9 of hearts. Back
I did.
To steerage.
I was sorry, back man. To the exit row in the back, and there was a guy sweating and breathing all over me and coughing. And you know what's weird? You know what's weird? Like, you always are aware in public places, like, this guy comes on, he gets in the wrong seat. He's in the middle seat beside me, but he gets in across the aisle. And then somebody has to kick him out. He swears, drops an F-bomb, which is, you know, again, you're in a public place and you're not sure who's around. And then he squeezes in beside me. I fall asleep. I wake up with him crawling over top of me. His crotch is in my face. I'm like, why don't you just give me a tap? And he was trying to be nice,
right.
Not to wake me up, but I would prefer not to have, you know, his jeans
I think that's
staring
reasonable.
Me in the face.
How was your flight, Ray, from Newark to Vancouver?
Up at 3:30 to get through security because with the government shut down, it's apparently quite a wild card to get through. So no problem there. Got to Toronto, delayed an hour, which... You know, wasn't too thrilled about, but anyway, I did. Only thing I had today was I was dead asleep in about 1 minute, and I don't even know how long. Couldn't even hazard a guess. I got the tap on my shoulder. Would you like a hot towel? No, I would like to have my eyes closed. Thank you.
Very considerate, but leave me alone.
Yeah,
a hot towel to wash
now.
Your hands.
Not now.
That felt like, you know, 4-2, the Leafs will take it, but I thought the Leafs played pretty well. What did you make of the game last night?
They somehow, like, they fell asleep for about a minute there.
Yeah. I called it greasy, which
Yeah, it shouldn't have been a game.
It's a greasy road win.
Like, it shouldn't have been a game. They were so much better in the first period, and Kincaid was slipping and flopping all over the place. And then I don't know. I don't even know how it got close, to tell you the truth. They made the one mistake. It's 3-1. Then Gardner, you know, has a moment, and it's 3-2. And that game shouldn't have been close. Like, they, you know, Jersey is not even in the same ballpark, skill, speed, talent wise, as Toronto. Yet there it was. It got to be 3-2, and you know, it didn't even feel in danger when it was 3-2. But you know, you're obviously one shot away.
Well, I would agree with Hayes. Like, I thought they played all right, but my thing is in watching the game, not once did I think they were going to lose it. If that made sense. Like, they looked in full control, regardless of what
it's
happened.
Like, you looked at Hutchison and said, okay, can you make a couple saves? They're going to make a push, and if you do that, they win.
He had a couple nice saves. I thought he was solid. Like,
I think Bavs is starting to
get a little bit more confidence in
him. He's getting a rose here.
You think so? I think he goes back to the minors when Sparks is healthy, just based on the semantics of it. He doesn't require waivers right now.
Is that because he's injury recall?
He's recalled, but even if you get called up and you've cleared waivers once already, I believe there's a rule that it's 28 days or 10 games. So, you know, they're not going to play another Russian roulette situation and put, if they wanted Hutchinson on the team, if you put Sparks on waivers and he does get taken, now you're chasing depth again. Like, you're in a perfect scenario. You've got a guy now that you can trust in Hutchinson that can give you games. And Sparks, you're still giving experience to, and Freddie's your guy. So it's really a perfect scenario. I really like the trade of Hutchinson, or for Hutchinson, because I was really concerned about the depth. Like, McElhinney's playing very well in Carolina.
But he wasn't an option. Yeah, you're talking a Marlies goalie if Hutchinson isn't here.
Exactly.
Well, they can't go down to what just happened before they. You know, they had the injuries.
Right.
They're not going to go back there again. I can't believe how many in the last couple of years backup goalies or depth goalies have changed positions. It's like there's not enough of them, and they, one of them gets traded or one of them goes on waivers and they're claimed and snapped up all over the place.
Yep.
It seems to be a tough spot to have a mid-20s guy that you can trust to play some games for you. And you want him to be in the American League, but it doesn't seem like there's very many of those guys around because it's a roulette. They're just, they just keep spinning around.
Well, it's because the game has changed and even analytics have come in, you know, not wanting the starter to play back-to-back games. And you don't see a lot of 65 or 70-game starters in the league anymore. They've tried to taper the minutes back. And so you need, and that backup position has become a lot more important. Because there are, if there's 15 to 17 starts, that's a lot of points on. And with the parity in the league, if you're not one of the 5, 6, 7, 8 teams at the top that you know are going to make the playoffs, 2 or 4 points are going to be the difference in you making the playoffs. You have to have the right guy to try and get that. That's why you see some of these backups move around and trust factor isn't that high on them.
Well, and then. As it's turned out, almost all of them have gone through Philly anyway this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, like, that is just crazy. So they're, you know, so there are going to be two guys that will probably be on the market next year. Whether anybody will chance them would be Elliott and Neuwirth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there are two more guys that Varlamov's going to be on the market.
Yeah, Bobby.
He can't stop a curling rock right now.
I know. Goaltender Bob.
Oh, yeah, well, that doesn't seem like that's going so well.
Mike Smith?
There's going to be movement around again for sure in the summer.
And I guess, you know, Columbus came out today and said, we're all good, we're moving on with Bobrovsky. But I'm sure you guys saw Tortorella's press conference yesterday where after the press release had been sent out, he came out and he wasn't going to expand on it. And he knew, he's not stupid, he knew the media was going to try to needle something out of him, and I guess to his credit, he never gave them anything. And I don't know.
I liked his comment. I think it was Aaron Portsline that asked him, and he goes, "Man of the people, Aaron." Like, he kind of took a shot at him, but he said, I'm going to stand by the release, and that's all I'm going to say.
I'm not going to get into it. Yeah. We got a little clip here about him speaking to Portsline about the role of Portsline and the role of Tortorella. Here's what went down yesterday.
The release is there, and I said right at the prior here that we'll just go with the release. I'm just worried about this hockey game. I'm not trying to be inconsiderate. We have a game to play, and it's a very important game for us. That's fine. You guys can generate what you want. I'm not going to be involved in it. And that's all I'm saying to you is I need to worry about the hockey club. As you need to worry about the fans, I need to worry about the hockey team.
See, I think that's actually very refreshing. It's honest, but I think it's also something that should be recognized whenever you hear a coach talk about how he thinks the game should be marketed, how the game should be played, rules and all that kind of stuff. That comment right there is exactly why coaches, I don't think, should have that much of a say, because they are in a bubble. They're in a vacuum. They care about their team, as they should. That's what they're paid to do. But they don't consider the entertainment value, fans,
they don't want to give injuries. They don't want to talk about anything.
So, you know.
Noodles, when you were coaching, I'm guessing you know way more about the league, the full league now, than you did when you were coaching. You would have known the Western Conference, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'd certainly researched it, but it was more you researched it according to your schedule. So if you looked ahead, like I always tried to look ahead like 2 weeks. So if a team from out east was coming out, I always watched their three previous games to watch tendencies. And so you're right. Like, you would know rosters, and we had on our scouting, you know, I guess website, we had every team's depth chart and where guys slotted and stuff, but you had to go digging. Like, I know more because now I from the media side, I'll read on SportsScan, I'll read up on every team, and then I do my due diligence by, you know, talking to people on in separate organizations.
But to what Brian was saying, like, the coaches don't, you can't ask them about the other conference. Half the time, they don't even know.
Yeah, you are worried about your team and preparing them for that night or that game or the next three games in that vacuum.
Digging on information on Torts seems like a rather futile approach.
Yeah, you kind of know what you're getting.
You're not getting anything.
You're not getting much.
But he was respectful about it, and I didn't mind that.
Like, but again, to the media's credit and the fan base's credit, of course everyone's wondering, you know, the superstar goaltender isn't playing, what happened? So I think both sides probably had a case. You know, the same thing applies in Toronto for tomorrow night. People want to know, is Freddie going? And Babcock, he didn't give you an answer today. I guess we'll find out more tomorrow. But that, for me, I would like to see him play. You know, Hutchinson has been playing fine, but tomorrow is a massive game. Boston's on your tail, and if you can find a way to pick up 2 points against them tomorrow, that would be imperative. That'd be great.
Well, so if he's healthy and clear, then wouldn't you just play him?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the final, you know, final determination. It would seem odd if he was healthy and clear to wait till Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think anyway. If he's ready to go, he's ready to go. He's going to be rusty or a little bit the first game, whenever it is, but he also might be lightning quick because he's rested.
Yeah, ask Vasilevsky. Sorry to interrupt, Ray. Vasilevsky's first game back was against the Leafs.
Right, 47 stops or whatever.
Like, you know, if he is ready and 100% healthy, like, he should play. He's your starter, and he's your number one, and you're going up against a team that 80% chance that you're going to play in the playoffs.
Like, well, as Babs says, if the sports science guy said it's okay, then for me, then I'm sure he wants to play. And if he's cleared and he passed his baseline, then you would think he'd be ready to go.
Ray, we were talking earlier. Is Edmonton just in the group of Minnesota and the teams that are just out of the playoffs, or are they awful? What do you think?
Well, I think they're a hedge below the Minnesota teams, but they've got the best player that puts them in the group with them.
That, you know, like,
I look at their roster, man, and I'm like, what did McDavid play last night? 28 minutes, and Draisaitl was way past 25, and like they don't have the depth of players. They certainly don't have some of the young players. Like, since we're talking about Minnesota, they don't have a Jordan Greenway or Luke Cunningham, who, you know, they've got Kaprizov coming in a year from Russia. Like, those are really top-end young prospects. They've got McDavid, Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins up front.
Yeah.
And Chiasson's having a crazy career year, like an awesome year. But I think they're going to hang in there and they're going to be close because they've got McDavid, and he just does amazing things.
He's Timberlake.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty simple.
That's a pretty good analogy,
Ryan.
It's
a great take.
I didn't want to say that myself. I'm glad you guys acknowledged that. He's Timberlake. And listen, you know, Anaheim, they've lost 9 in a row.
Yeah, I did that game the other night. Like, they're a mess. I feel bad because I think they're right there. Now they're such a fragile team. They looked terrified to lose against Ottawa the other night, and they did.
I don't feel bad. They're just a bad team. Like,
well, they're still a point up on Edmonton. They're better than you think.
Never score.
That's the problem.
That's the crazy part. Like, they never, ever, ever score.
But they just got Raquel back, and they just got Fowler back. Those are two pretty good pieces. Like, yeah, and let's not forget, just before that streak, they won 9 of 10. So they are a pretty streaky team. But they're right in that mix below the other teams. Anaheim, Minnesota, Edmonton.
Those five teams, right, yep. And they're going to...
And Colorado's falling like a rock right now, too.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. They have.
So maybe somebody makes a move, or maybe, you know, that helps spring them forward, or maybe somebody... catches fire a little bit and goes on one of those 3-week runs that they bank enough points that they become safe.
Yeah, they just separate.
If somebody doesn't do that, I don't see how this changes. You know, they're going to be slugging it out or crawling along, you know, until right when the deadline shows up, they'll try and make one more crack and then they'll fight right to the end. I don't see any great separation. I don't see one team way better that they're going to run away and hide. That's for sure.
No, I'm with you on that. All right, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again Monday at 5.
Yep. So Colorado Monday, right?
Colorado. The Avalanche in town Monday night down at Scotiabank.
Well, that'll be fun anyway to watch McKinnon and those guys.
Absolutely.
So I'll be there for it, so we'll talk to you then.
All right, man. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.